Welcome to another edition of Feral and Fabulous. I am super excited to have Julius Gonzalez on. And we have known each other for, I was trying to figure out how long, because it's been a long time.
It's been about going on 8 years now.
I was thinking closer to 10. So you would probably, you're younger, you would remember
it's
better.
It's pretty close because I got my real estate license back in 2016.
Okay.
So I'm coming up on a decade.
Okay.
And then...
And maybe that's what I was remembering is when you got your license, because I think I met you not too long after you got your license, right?
Yeah, it was about a year and a half maybe.
Yeah. So, and originally you were kind of doing a little bit of general real estate, right?
Yes. Started out with the Coldwell Banker.
Yeah, that's
right. Wasn't the fit.
No, so, I understand.
Good Lord led my path to you.
Yeah, no, we became fast friends. And, yeah. And I remember when you came over and we were talking just about all kinds of different stuff. But one of the things that I think I want to talk to you about is how you ended up getting into real estate again originally and then transitioning over into the investment side of things. And you did that transition pretty quickly, more quickly than I see most agents that go that direction. So I'm just curious, what was it or what kind of enticed you to go that direction?
So I was working in the oil field before, you know, any type of real estate, never even looked into real estate.
Okay.
Or even knew what it was about.
Yeah.
And then my wife had a great idea. She's like, hey, you should get your real estate license.
I said, hey, okay. I did not know she was the impetus behind you getting your license.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Her idea. Got my license. She's like, hey, we should move to San Antonio. Okay. Let's go to San Antonio. After that.
What a sharp lady.
Yeah. Absolutely. But I got lucky to snag her up.
That's awesome. I love it.
Then, like I said, started with Coldwell Banker.
Yeah.
Not that great. Did rentals mostly. Found your brokerage. Did some more rentals. Did some buyers.
Yeah.
Got a little traction, but nothing too crazy. And then I actually met one of my good buddies now on the investment side.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, you should, you know, come to this brokerage and, you know, try it out. So after that, honestly, that's kind of where it took off.
The rest was kind of history at that point.
And honestly, even then, like for the first year and a half, it was kind of rocky, still trying to learn that side of it.
Yeah.
And then honestly, when we're just talking about, you know, COVID hit, and the boom kind of hit.
Yeah.
That's kind of when my career took off.
That's true. Yeah.
Like, because more buyers came into the market.
Yeah.
A lot of sellers were just ready to ditch
because everybody
was getting high prices. Yeah. So that's, I was kind of on the edge because that was like my 4-year mark of being a realtor.
Yeah.
And my career took off. When you saw, I'm sure you saw it too on your side, a lot of agents quit.
Yeah. No, for sure.
And
for sure. For lots of reasons.
Honestly, I didn't have nothing else to do. I couldn't quit. So there was no backup plan.
Yeah, no, I get that. And I think since then, I think you and I have done historically kind of like a handful of deals a year. I mean, typically, we usually do several deals a year.
I feel like we're close to 7 to 10 a year, you know, for whichever ones work out.
Yeah, well, exactly. But I mean, definitely, it's definitely been very fruitful for both of us.
Absolutely.
I mean, to, you know, continue on and work in that realm of the business. So tell me a little bit, because again, do you feel like a lot of people refer to you as a flipper? Like, do you get that terminology used a lot or?
No, because I still, you know, everybody I meet, you know, I'm a realtor.
Yeah.
You know,
no, absolutely. 100%.
So it's just the investment wholesale side.
I just didn't know if that connotation, even though I know that's not what you are, I didn't know if other people would refer to you as that.
No, because I make sure and, you know, kind of.
You set the stage for that. Like, hey, that's not who I am.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I mean, my partners that I work with now, we do some light flips. So we have actually started buying ourselves like within the last 2-3 years.
Sure.
But it's nothing crazy. You
right.
Know?
Right.
We don't
right.
get into the $80,000, $100,000.
Understand.
Flip kind of stuff.
Yes. No, understand completely what you're talking about.
Because at the end of the day, like I worked hard to get my license. So I don't want to let it go. And I, you know, this is what we do.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. And your license is on the line. And so I think that the connotation with flippers is that they cut edges. I mean, they just really cut corners. They don't really do things properly. And so I feel like there's a negative connotation to that. And so I definitely know you are not that, but I just feel like a lot of people that are not educated might assume that because they know you're on the investment side of things.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell me, I know that being on the investment side of things, tell me some of the stories, because I know you and I over the years, I mean, out of all the deals that we do in any given year, let's face it, we've got stories to tell. And yeah. So I think that without a doubt, I mean, I'd be curious to know, what are some of the craziest things that you've had to deal with?
Oh, gosh. You know, just the stinky properties, the ones where you can barely hold your breath.
Yeah.
But you got to get in there.
Yeah.
Got to see it.
Yeah. One of the ones that you and I just did recently, I ended up with, I got a flea infestation all over. Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, I was covered. And one of your partners, because you were out of town, remember? Yeah. You were out of town. And so I went over and met with him. He was great, by the way. And so we were foraging through the property, and literally he texted me after we left the property, and he goes, "Hey, just want to let you know, I think you probably have a flea infestation." I was like, "Oh my gosh, I'm driving, right?" And I looked down and I showed Matt and Katie the pictures of my legs, and I'm like,
yeah.
They were everywhere.
That's the one thing I hate.
Is that right?
Fleas.
Okay.
I don't mind the stench anymore because I've walked
you're used
through
to it.
Anything.
Yeah.
But if it has fleas, oh.
No. And this was, I was covered. And they were in my car. Anyway, I won't go into detail, but anyway, that was pretty traumatic.
Yeah,
so.
It really is. And I ask agents too, because when I walk, because we do on and off market stuff. So
yes. Yes.
You know, the on-market stuff we target is obviously run down, but I ask them, that's one of my questions, like, "Hey, does it have fleas?" Like,
yeah.
I need to know that.
I did not know that. Like, I did not know that you asked about that.
Because when you walk in somewhere and you're caught off guard and, you know, you just see fleas all over your pants, you got to run out. I was on the southwest side. It's been a couple years talking about crazy stories.
Yeah.
And I was walking around the backyard, not even thinking about it. I get to my truck and they're just crawling. I'm talking inside my pants, all over me. And that's the first time I've literally stripped down in the street. It's like 10 in the morning. I'm on the southwest side of town, and I am in my boxers because they're everywhere on me. And that's a true story.
No, I truly appreciate that, because the day that I was talking about that your partner had let me know that, hey, I'm afraid you might have a flea infestation as I'm driving off, I literally drove to the house and I called Dave. I'm like, "Come out here and help me. I'm literally in the driveway. I'm not kidding you. My husband can back me up on this. I'm like taking off my pants because I don't want to walk in the house with clothing on that's going to potentially." So I'm stripping down and it's during the day. And so in outside and then going into the garage, he opened up the garage so I could get inside. And I'm like, I don't want fleas coming into the garage a lot, because then the garage is, you know, just a few inches away from the main house. Right. So I'm literally taking off there. And so literally your partner said, "Burn your clothes." And I'm like, yeah, no kidding. Like, I'm not salvaging those. I ditched everything. I was done. I was like, okay, I will never wear those shoes again. I will never wear those clothes again. I mean, and little did I know when I went over there that was going to be the case. I had no idea. So I didn't put on clothes that I never wanted to see again, you know? So I didn't know that was going to be what happened. So I do get that.
No. And some of the worst, and go back to that story. So by the time I realize I'm in my boxers on the side of the street, and it finally clicks, like, I start looking around. Is anybody watching me? You know, luckily, nobody was outside their house.
Nobody turned you in.
Yeah.
Trust me.
But going back to the stinky ones, you know, walking those houses, the worst situations are when you have kids living in them. You know, I walk them in there.
Yes.
Their parents have the kids still living there.
Yes.
And it's like, smells like ammonia. Oh. It's like, it's just hard to see those living situations.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And I know that. I'm sure you deal with a lot of different situations, but I mean, I believe you've also dealt with crime scenes as well, haven't you?
Kind of
like, I know we've kind of talked about that a little bit.
Yeah. there was this one property I picked up back in like 2020, 2021, and it was on the east side.
Okay.
And we sold it to our investor. Well, he starts like just doing, you know, his due diligence more on the property. He's like, hey, I saw this, this report where somebody was killed there.
Yep.
We knew nothing about it, you know?
Well, yeah, no. I get that because we get referrals all the time and we don't necessarily know the story behind anything. Yeah.
So it's definitely.
Yeah.
Every which way you can think.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
I think one of the grossest ones I walked recently was right before Thanksgiving. It was in Highland Park. This wholesaler out of Houston called me because a lot of times independent wholesalers, when they're not in our market, they want to help the deal get moved. They'll send it to us.
Okay.
So I walk the house and his partner actually drove down to get pictures and he's like, hey man, you don't want to go in there. It's nasty.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen everything. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, walk in there and there's just like probably like a couple inches layered all over the floor of dog.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
yeah,
just in every room, just and someone was living there.
Yeah, no, I mean, we see it all. I think that's the thing that a lot of people don't understand. They always think that we have this glamorous job. They think, you know, we drive around in these cars and we just go pick up our checks and they don't really understand kind of some of the stuff that goes on in the business and how hard we can work to make a deal work. And again, it may look glamorous, but on the outside, but really when you dig down deep, I mean, some of the deals that you and I have done together have been really, I mean, we were like, oh my gosh, is this going to happen or not? I mean, it was just really, I mean, some of the conditions that people are living in, some of the properties, and it was really the ironic thing is it was such a blessing for that person actually to get the help to actually sell the property. So it actually worked out really well for them. But along the way, it can be really gut-wrenching and emotionally taxing, I feel like, just to see how people live and just to know that they're in a tough situation or they're at a tough time in their life, you know, whatever the case may be. But I think that obviously with what you deal with a lot of that, a lot more of that. I mean, I deal with it definitely during the year, but I think you're probably dealing with it on a more regular basis just because of the nature of what kind of real estate you're doing.
Oh, for sure. And that day too, after I walked that house, I'd never been in a position where like, I don't want to wear these shoes anymore. Like I literally threw those shoes away.
No, absolutely. I get that. No, I did. I literally threw everything away from that day. And so that they're gone. No one will ever see that outfit again.
There's so many days where, you know, wake up, take a shower, go to work, get calls, go walk these houses. And I'm like, man, I need to take another shower already. And it's been like 3 hours.
Yeah, exactly. It's early on. Like, it's not even noon and I need another shower.
I'm just thinking about all the air that's been in those properties. And I'm like, I need to take a shower already.
Can you imagine? Yeah. Oh my gosh. Now, how about like, have you dealt with a lot of situations that had been previous, like, you know, drug houses or anything like that? I mean.
Drug houses. I'm trying to. So. I don't know for a fact that it was a drug house, but actually this house is in my neighborhood that I live in now.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
So I think it was back in the summer.
A local Miami Vice kind of situation.
Back in the summer, one of my partners that you met with,
he
calls me. He's like, hey, I got this lead on this house. It's in your neighborhood. Can you go look at it? I'm like, yeah, I'm like a minute away. So I go look at it. It's vacant. And, you know, nice house, two-story. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Just because I say a drug house, it can be in any neighborhood.
Yeah.
It can impact anybody.
So I'm in the second story. I'm in the master bedroom, and there's like a skylight, but it's covered up with wood. So I'm like, I never go in attics. But I'm like, what's up there? So why is it covered up? Go in the attic.
Huge. It was blocking you from the attic?
No. You could the skylight was there, but you couldn't see outside. There was a piece of wood, plywood.
Oh, gotcha.
So I was like, well, let me go in the attic. Mm. A lot of space. You could walk around up there. And in the attic, there was this room. It's probably about as big as this room, but it was like by itself. There was a door with a lock on the outside of it.
In the attic?
Yes. An air vent that went into the room, but a lock on the outside of the door and a light. So it was growing or they were keeping somebody in there.
I was going to say that reminds me of the, what is it? Glenn Close in the Fatal Attraction where she's sitting by the lamp post going click, 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 click. You know.
And this house is in my neighborhood. I'm like, it just can happen anywhere.
It can. It absolutely can, for sure.
Another property, which I think was a drug house, a few years ago, we're in Stone Oak, one of my other partners, we walk in. I'm thank God I was with him because gated community, you know, we go in there. It's supposed to be like a 5-bedroom, 3-bath, huge 2-story house.
Oh, wow.
Got a pool. Pool's run down. But we in there. The owner, I guess, was using it as a rental.
Okay.
So we go in there. Weird situation already. A couple pit bulls running around. We go upstairs.
Aren't you afraid?
I mean, for the most part, I've been lucky that nothing happens.
No kidding.
A lot of people ask me, why don't I carry? But in my head, I'm like, you know,
why don't you carry?
I could, but to me, I'm like,
I care that you don't carry.
I feel like I'm just bringing that energy, you know, in my head.
I gotcha. I can understand that.
Some of the houses I walk,
yeah, I mean, because I've been with you sometimes to some of the houses we walk, and I'm like, wait a minute, why am I carrying and you're not? I mean, that's what's wrong with that picture?
So we go upstairs where, you know, most of the bedrooms are supposed to be, and they chopped it into like 8 rooms, and each door has its own room.
I don't like the word chopped in this regard.
They reconfigured it some way up there, and he's like, "Nah, y'all ain't getting in those 3 rooms." We're like, all right, no problem.
Yeah. Okay.
This is like 9 a.m.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
We're like, okay.
Where's the platinum Patron when that goes on? Because I would need that.
We're like, all right, no problem. So we finished walking the house, and we ended up not doing the deal because it was just a mess.
I understand.
There's some of those properties where you're like,
walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck.
Let's
so
just
you
not
might need to,
this,
yeah, exactly. You Sometimes know? You're like, no, so, this is just like too creepy for me.
Yeah. So just about any and everything can be your neighbor
or
where you don't expect it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Are there certain, I'm curious, are there certain formulas that I know you're, it's almost like I feel like when I go to properties with you, I feel like it reminds me of being like, you're like Steve Austin, where you have like this X-ray vision where you're like, you know, like we can rebuild him. He can be better than ever. And it's like you can look at a house and you can already be calculating in your head kind of what it's going to take to make that house what you need it to be in order for it to make sense financially to do the deal. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. You know, I've been very fortunate to not only be doing this as long as I have, but worked with really good people who have taught me, investors and other agents.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing is asking questions. You know, these investors you work with, you know, I've seen how much it takes for them to rehab certain houses.
Right.
You know, kitchens, bathrooms, roofs.
Right.
I've met with foundation guys. So pricing, when I put a rehab together, I'm always pretty close. Of course, you could always throw extra money in a kitchen, right? Or you could throw
100%
less money.
Kitchens, you know? to me, that's the most potentially high ticket item or, you know, area in a home that I feel like there's never too much money to spend in a kitchen, right?
Because like at the end of the day, one investor could be like, I'll do that kitchen for $15K. And another investor is like, nah, my appliances need to be $4,000 a piece. This is going to be $20K to $25K kitchen.
Yeah.
So there's always two sides to it.
Right.
The biggest thing is being as close as possible to what they're going to see.
Reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because even with contractors, you're going to get 3 different bids.
Yeah.
Most
of
the time.
God, isn't that the truth?
So whether it's high, low, middle, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, knowing our investor clients and what they need to make.
Right.
Is the biggest thing.
Right.
You know, and knowing the market, you know, if a lot of people... I'd say it's a lot of people who do business out of their own markets.
Yes.
Which some are still good at it, but there's a lot of them who I feel like there's a lot of gurus they listen to.
Yep.
They think they can get rich overnight.
Yes.
But it's not.
It's not.
Real estate's hard.
No, exactly. I'm so glad you said that because I feel like so many people feel like that real estate is a get rich quick scheme, and it's so not. I mean, it's to me the opposite of that.
No, real estate is hard. And partners and I talk about it all the time because we only have a team of about 5 or 6, which is good because we like to keep it tight knit. That way we know what's going on.
Yeah.
It works for us. And, you know, at the end of the day, when we're trying to hire agents, every time we have an interview with them, I'm straight up, I'm like, hey, it's going to be hard.
Yeah. No, exactly. Exactly. And I feel like you guys, that's what makes you so good at what you do, because I feel like you guys are all so simpatico with each other. I feel like you have the same kind of like, you know, skill set, and I feel like you vibe with each other. And I feel like the way you communicate, I feel like even if you can't meet me at a property, I know that whoever's going to meet me out there, they're going to be similar in the way that they do things. And I feel like you guys obviously are a very close-knit unit. And so I love that.
And it comes with the trust on all sides of it, right? You know, like even though we're moving into the AI generation of everything.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started on AI.
At the end of the day, I still think the human factor is going to have to be there for a long time.
I agree with you.
There's no way to not.
I'm so glad you said that.
There's no way to displace agents.
I agree.
Because at the end of the day, do you trust a robot telling you? Or hey, Kim's going to call me. She talked to me. I feel good.
No. Like, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I feel like so many agents I hear now said AI is going to take over everything. And I understand where they're coming from on that concept. But really, there's so many things that I feel like when you and I go into a property and we're evaluating it and looking at different things, yes, a robot can go in there and they can visually see things. But there's something about, I think, experience and what you've gone through in the past that you can... I feel like just do your own analysis in a different way that involves things that a computer or a robot just don't have the ability to put that personalization to it, to make it more real. It's just all factual, which again, I get just the facts, ma'am. You know, that's obviously important, but I feel like there's just something about experience and understanding how things have pulled together or not pulled together in the past that I feel like you lose out on when you use AI. And sometimes my husband uses AI all the time. He loves to do that, which I get. But I find that a lot of times when I use AI, I get frustrated with it. I'm like, that's not right. Because what they're saying on the AI, based on, again, factual references, and just they just don't have that, I don't know, that just extra, that sixth sense, if you will.
Yeah.
Of having lived through it and done it yourself, that they're just using words and whatever that definition is. And sometimes the conclusion that they come to, I feel like, is not right.
Yeah. So we're starting to incorporate it into our business, but it's more so to take the tedious stuff off our plate.
Yes.
Like the responses,
there's a place for it. Oh, for sure. For sure.
But when it comes down to still, you know, we got to meet with the sellers.
Yes.
Have to meet our buyers. Exactly. You know, stuff like that still.
Exactly. Because there's a lot of things that happen in a one-on-one communication, you know, that I feel like AI can't factor in appropriately.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I was actually talking to my investor that I list with, and I was telling him, like, we're trying to incorporate it. Like, because nowadays, like, they're going to get to a point where they listen to our voice, and it's going to be like,
yeah,
the AI, my voice talking to you.
Yeah.
So I told him about that. He's like, well, where are you going to be on a beach? I said, that's the plan.
You know, maybe. We can only hope.
And then I started messing with him. I was like, you know, right now you could really not even be talking to me.
That's true. Is it live or is it Memorex? Yeah. You know, you probably don't remember that. You're too young. But anyway, definitely that was an old, I think an ad for Memorex, right? Yeah, exactly. See, thank God, Matt. Matt, always, Lupus Thunder always has my back on these things, because, you know, he's still way younger than me, but he still has he has an old soul. So he definitely has a lot of references that I make that he's like, oh, yeah, I know what that is. So anyway, and Katie does too. And you surprisingly, you know, have some knowledge on things that I really wouldn't expect you to when you're young. You're just a baby. So,
well, that goes back to, you always have to ask questions on anything.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't, how are you going to learn?
Exactly. But I feel like so many of the younger generation now, they don't ask a lot of questions. And I hate to say this, but I feel like sometimes they feel like because they have the internet, they think they know it all. And they're like, I don't need to ask questions. I've got the internet. I have AI. Why do I need to ask a question? And it's like, the problem is they don't know what they don't know. And so if you don't know what questions to ask, you're going to go down and think you've got something nailed and you have no clue what you're doing. So I do worry about the next generation because, again, they've got all this AI and different information available to them on the internet, but I'm not sure they know really how to interpret it or what to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah, you made a good point. They don't know what they don't know. I know what I don't know. So I still like to ask people, like, how many times, I mean, over the years, even though you hadn't even been my broker since 2018, I reach out to you because I know, I'm like, she'll have an answer. That I trust her answer.
Well, I'm going to try. I'm going to try to have an answer. So, but no, that's what I love is just the long-term relationships in this business that as our careers, as they grow and change, you know, you still go back to the people that you feel like you're very aligned with. And I love that aspect of this business. And that's what I think keeps us all, you know, doing what we do.
And all your agents too have been great. I work with a lot of your agents through the years and continue to.
I know, because we're all kind of like-minded. And that's one of the things I love about our office. And like I said, just Keller Williams has been such a great, it's just been a blessing. And like I said, everybody I feel like is very like-minded in that regard. And so we're all looking forward to doing a lot more deals in 2026. I can't believe it's already going
to
be here.
I know. I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
To the new year.
So before we wrap up, I do want to ask you, what do you like to do in your spare time? Because I know you work all the time, because most of the time, whenever you and I are talking, you're working and I'm working. But what do you like to do in your spare time?
I play golf.
Oh, do you? Mm-hmm. I did not know that. Mm-hmm. Okay, very cool. Very cool. Yeah. So we can find you out on a golf course.
Yeah.
Okay.
I try to get out. So when I first, that was one of the biggest things for real estate. I was like, I'm going to be able to play golf a lot.
That's awesome. I love it. And San Antonio is such a great place to play golf in.
As I got into real estate, I was like, maybe not so much. Until I started establishing my business.
Yes.
Then I was like, okay.
Yes.
I can answer calls from out here. I can send emails now.
That's awesome. I love it.
But so I try to get out once or twice a month, you know, at least still.
That's amazing. Oh, my gosh. I love that. I didn't know you were a golfer.
Yeah. That's the beauty, I feel like, of now being in it for 10 years now and having some sort of book of business.
Yeah.
You know, you can comfortably
enjoy some things that you really like to do.
But, of course, always now that we have computers in our hand, we can just email,
text. That the truth? So. Exactly.
That's a good part of it too.
No, 100%, 100%. Well, thank you so much for this part of the podcast. I'm so excited to have had you on. And now we are going to start with the next part of the podcast, which is going to be the feral or fabulous. If you want to grab your paddle, I've got several things to ask you. One of the things I'm very interested to hear what you have to say. Poker.
Poker. Ooh, that's both.
Okay.
Like both. Okay. Both.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And the reason I say that is because, you know, you see, me and my wife loved going to Vegas.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I do too.
And we've been, you know, a lot. We try to go at least once a year for the Super Bowl. But
I did not know that. Yeah. That's so cool.
But, you know, you watch poker on TV and you see these guys get crazy when they lose. I'm like,
I know.
I'm just trying to have fun.
Exactly. So it's a fun thing, but you also understand that it can get a little dicey.
Yeah, there's some crazy people out there.
Yes, there are. Yes, there are. See, we have the same birthday and we're also both Vegas fans. I'm telling you, there's so many similarities. It's crazy.
Yeah, I love Vegas.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And I'm the same with you on poker. I like poker, but definitely I don't get freaky. Like it's like you said, I enjoy it, but I get a little more freaky about blackjack than I do about poker, but definitely it is a game and I love to have fun doing it. Of course, I love to have a cocktail while I'm playing it as well. So it makes it a little more relaxing. So cool. Okay. Fishing.
Ooh.
Oh, fabulous. Me too. Yeah. I love fishing.
Yeah. So I grew up in South Texas, in Beeville. So we're an hour from the coast. So we used to do a lot of fishing when I was younger with my dad.
Absolutely.
Not so much anymore that I'm in San Antonio. I actually need to make an effort to get my son out there more.
Yeah, I love to fish. Yeah. And I grew up summers at Port Aransas. Mm. So we used to spend a lot of time growing up fishing. And so for me, I mean, I could spend all day fishing. Yeah. I love deep sea fishing. I prefer fishing in the ocean more than lakes and rivers.
Yeah.
But I like all fishing.
Yeah. No, I'm a saltwater for sure.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me
fresh
too.
Waters. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm boring. The same. Yeah. I still like it, but not as much. I feel like my heart is definitely drawn to the beach and the ocean and the saltwater. So for sure. Okay. Fireworks. Okay, fabulous. Yes.
Hey. Yeah, I was a big firework person when I was a kid.
Oh, cool.
My son, my oldest, his ears are real sensitive, so he didn't really like fireworks.
Okay.
You know, that much.
Okay. Can he put like earmuffs on or something like that, or earplugs?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he has to do earplugs, but no, I was a big firework kid.
Yeah.
Mischievous.
Yeah.
Just trying to blow stuff up. Yeah. You know?
You had the black caps and you were doing that kind of thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I love watching fireworks. I don't love the noise necessarily, but I love watching them. I think they're so pretty and just I do enjoy that. Yeah. So yeah. I'm always looking for a good excuse to have a fireworks display or something like that, or to watch one. So looking forward to that. Okay. Dancing.
Ooh. You know, I do not dance, but it's still fabulous.
Okay, you like it, but you're not a dancer.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the extent to my dancing will be like two-stepping with my wife.
Okay, well, you two-step. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Do you ever go like country western dancing or something?
Not a ton. Like if we catch a concert, you know, maybe once or twice a year.
Okay.
You know.
Cool.
When the drinks have been in me for a while.
You know. I do understand. Yes, exactly. I like to dance also, and I like to dance and have cocktails. So I think
goes
there's
together.
Yes, they do go together. I like to dance more after I've had cocktails. So very cool. Okay, honey.
Honey. I mean, it's good.
Yeah. Okay.
It is good.
I actually love honey. I'm obsessed with like raw honey, and I love hot honey. I feel like there's not a whole lot of honey that I don't like. In fact, I prefer honey over like sugar cane or, you know, some artificial sugars or whatever. So I'm a fan, and it helps with allergies too. I know that we were talking about allergies earlier. So definitely I feel like I need to be having more honey because it's supposed to going to help with your seasonal or the allergens that are close by, you know?
Yeah. I don't need a ton of it, but like you said, I think like you said, for allergies, like lemon,
lemon and water, lemon honey.
Honey.
Yeah. And if you're sick, it's really, I think is it antimicrobial? I do believe honey is antimicrobial. Yeah. So anyway, I say that several times, but anyway, I love me some honey. Okay. Jurassic Park.
It's fabulous.
Okay, cool.
Our little one loves dinosaurs and animals.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's 3 years old, and he'll watch all the Jurassic Parks like it's nothing.
How many have there been? Do you know?
Oh, by now, at least 6 or 7, I bet.
Wow, interesting.
He likes Jurassic World, though. I think that's his favorite one.
Is that one? Mm-hmm. Which one was that?
That's the one with the Mosasaurus. I know that because he knows that.
Oh, my gosh. It's the newer that's so island. Crazy. I love that. Oh my gosh.
No, he likes that one a lot.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
He's a big animal guy, the young one.
I can remember, I don't know what year it actually came out originally, but I think that my son was very young and was very scared by the movie, but he was little.
Yeah.
So I definitely think over the years, I mean, he's enjoyed the movies, but I just remember he was kind of traumatized when he was young and saw the first one. And of course I was older. So it's like, whatever, it's just all pretend. But I think a lot of the kids got into it a bunch.
Yeah. No, he loves those movies. And I think we're like, man, should we have showed it to him? Because him watching those movies makes him kind of feral. Honestly.
Yes. Boys and dinosaurs. I think that can sometimes be an interesting combination.
No, he is out of control.
Oh, love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Well, you have been just a joy, and I'm so happy to have you on the podcast.
I appreciate
and
it. It's been great as always. Our conversations are always good.
I love
good.
It. We always have fun when we get together. Yeah. So thank you so much and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Here's to 2026.
Absolutely.
For everybody.
Cheers, and thank you guys for joining us for another episode of Feral and Fabulous, and we look forward to more Feral and Fabulous in 2026. Bye.